You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Bedikas kehoda. So how does a bedika help? I'm assuming, I don't know if I have a great answer for you. I'm assuming shtika kehoda work when if I owe you money, you demand money from me, not show sake. So my shtika is kehoda, so it's like an edus, so I'm testifying that I do owe you the money. Maybe when it comes to yuchsin, and the accusation is about something my mother did, and if I'm modeh, doesn't have the ability to change history of what my mother did or didn't do, or what my grandmother did or didn't do, you know, 60 years ago when she was in college. So you have to do medika to clarify what she did. You shtik koda maybe could mechayiv you. There's actually a big machlokas achronim, why shtik koda works. I believe, if I say, you tell me, Rabbi Orlin, you owe me $100, and I'm shosik. Why do I owe you $100 now? What's the mechanism through which we say that my shtik is koda, and now I owe you $100? I think there's a Ketos HaChoshen who talks about this. I think he says it's like a nether. My shtika makes it as though I'm saying I owe you $100, and I owe you $100 not because I actually do owe you the money, because I'm now, by being silent, committing to hereby give you $100.
But the point of the Rambam here is that it's kosher shimbo, and he says do a bedika. So it's not that he's admitting it. There's a register here which has to be elaborated and looked into.
Dr. Hollander is saying maybe I shouldn't have used the words hodas balder and kamei edim. Maybe I shouldn't have used the words shtika kahoda. Right, Dr. Hollander. The words in the Rambam don't say. The words shtik koda do not appear in the Rambam. That's true. In which case, the Beir can't ask on me, oh, how does it fit with other areas of shtik koda? That could be true. Or it could be that maybe the mechanism of shtik koda that works by money that you make you chayev to pay, that mechanism might not work by yuchsin. Might be through a different yuchsin. If I'm
but
saying
when you're dealing with
ktos, hold on, doctor. If I'm saying as far as the ktos, that shtik koda usually works because it's like a neder, that only works when I'm mechayev myself to use something. Then I can make a neder. But if it's talking about what my mother did 60 years ago when she was a young woman, then my great-great-grandmother, what she did when she was, 18 years old. So that's not necessarily, I don't necessarily have the power through my doing anything, my shtika, my neder, to change history that she, my great-great-grandmother might have done or might not have done. Dr. Jared, do you have a question?
Yeah. Hodas Baldin means that I could obligate myself $100. I could also write a check of $100 to the shul, and it does not impact my sibling. In this case, where I say something about my yichas, it affects my children and my siblings and my parents, so I can't obligate them, so the comparison is not even valid.
You're saying something very good. Mm-hmm. You say you're being mechaving to somebody, which I don't remember who. We'll see it in the Shailas the Truth. Maram Padua will quote somebody who said makes your point. I don't remember who it is. The Ramah's going to make your point, but we'll see it as we go. So let's move to the next point. It's a good ha'ara, though. That is what you're saying is true, indeed. Comes the Ravid, and the Ravid sets down a very serious qualification. He says, wait a second. When do we say that my silence, again, you accuse me of being a mamzer, you accuse me of being a nothin or a falal or a whatever I am, an eved. When do we say that my shtika is warrants that you better check further? Look at the Ravid. The Ravid says, this was true, this doesn't apply now. You know why? Because we react and we relate to accusations differently nowadays than in the olden days. And I'll show you why. Says the Ravid, Kol Elu She'amru, all these cases that we said in the Gemara that the Rambam is referring to, Shtikastam, Shekzulim, Lo Amru El Bedorot Harishonim. What's the difference between the previous generation and nowadays? Because the previous generation, Shahiyu Bate Din, or based in his Kakin Lecherpos Sha'adam Mecharif et Tavera. In the olden days, if I would walk over to somebody and I would say, you're an Eved, you know what would happen to me? He'd go complain, he'd file a complaint to the police department, and they'd put me in Cherem, Yehe Ben Idri. If I'd walk over to you and I would say, you're a Mamzer, you know what would happen? You'd complain to the police department, you'd file a complaint that I called you a Mamzer, you know what would happen? So basically, would give me Malkus. Oh, and if what happens if you don't complain to the police department? You had a legal recourse. You could have complained to the police department, and they would have put me for accusing you of being a mamzer or an eved. They would have put me in chayrem and put me in malchus, and you were silent and didn't file a complaint. and didn't follow through with your legal recourse that you could have gone through? You were just silent? Oh, now your silence really shows something. Bezesha Shasak, and in such a time period when you could have had that legal recourse to lock me up and to get me in trouble. Bezesha Shasak, Vlotov, you didn't file the complaint in Beis Din. Var Hoda, that is a Hoda. So in a time period when we enforce such accusations, when if I would accuse you of these various yichus issues, you could take me to court and lock me up and do all kinds of, and get me in trouble, and you chose not to? So then your choosing not to indicates that it must be true, my accusation, because you could and should have, you know, taken me to court and locked me up or put me in chayrim or get me malchus, but you chose not to. It must be because you agreed, you acquiesced. But nowadays, I could walk all the, up and down the street, I could walk up and down the aisles in shul, walking to every person and say, you're a mamzer and you're an eved and you're a nasan and you're a chalal and you're a mamzer and you're an eved. And the worst you could do, you could complain to the rabbi, nothing more. There's nothing you could do about it, because the Beis Din doesn't react to these kinds of, it's sort of like, it could be illegal to have a corona party with more than, 11 people or 51 people, but the police don't enforce it. So if the police don't enforce it, there's nothing we can do about it. So if nowadays the Batei Din do not enforce the punishments for somebody who makes these accusations, so then the reason why you were silent, because what else is there to do? What are you going to gain by screaming? If you could have legal recourse and you choose to not take legal recourse, you're silent, that's the Shtika Toda. However, if Bisman has there, you don't have any legal recourse. There's nothing that you could do. So what's the point of responding? Right? If you could do something, do something. But if you can't do something anyway, so just keep your mouth shut. That's why he keeps his mouth shut, said the rabbi. It doesn't mean that he is acknowledging that he's a shtik koda. He's admitting, yes, I'm a manzu, yes, I'm an avid, yes, I'm a nasin, yes, I'm a cholov. No, there's nothing that he could do. So what's the point of escalating an argument? What does he gain by saying, oh, no, I'm not, no, I'm not? There's nothing to gain. So just keep your mouth shut. Let him make his accusations and shine. What do you have to gain? That's the very powerful svara of the Ravid, distinguishing and basically saying that this whole halacha does not apply nowadays. It's only applied time in history when there was legal recourse when you were called a name. This is who said this. Who said this? Yossi, I think, said this. Son of the Aval Achshav, Ashostek al Hamariva, Harehu Meshubach. Right? It sounds like that's what you said before. Elim Kain, Koran Lo Bishasmi. If you're fighting with somebody, the best thing is to be silent. But if all of us, the only thing that Ivan points out is that if you're not even fighting with anybody, a person just randomly walks over to you in front of others and says, I have reason to believe that you're a mom's. Okay, that maybe we should be nervous about. Then, you should react. But in the context of a fight, if people are fighting and they say, oh, you're such a monster, just keep your mouth. Don't respond. Just don't respond. You know, it's the same thing when my little kids are arguing with each other. You know, sometimes they just want to fight. They just like fighting. So if I tell one of them, do me a favor, just don't respond to your brother. Just don't respond to your sister. Just keep your mouth closed. Then the fight sort of just de-escalates immediately. That's the Ravid saying. If there's a fight and somebody calls you something, you don't have to fight back. Shut your mouth and it will de-escalate. Because anyway, there's nothing you could do. In the olden days, you're right. In the olden days, you had legal recourse and you chose not to pursue that legal recourse. Oh, maybe that's an indication that you admit that you really are a mamzer. You really are an eved. That is the Ravid popping the bubble of the Rambam and of this halacha, saying that this halacha no longer applies. But let me take a step back. Did the Rambam say this? The Rambam said, Paskin, this is the halacha. Clearly, what is the Rambam holding? The Rambam is clearly holding up his mind as that you do have the power of this Shtika Kohoda happening. And if you're accused of being a mamzer and you're silent, you are a mamzer. We do assume you're a mamzer unless we do the proper bedikah to try that out. What we have is Machlokas Rambam Ravid. If this halacha applies, this manifest. That's point number one. Point number two. Let's look at the Ramban. Also, this Gemara, which we didn't those are the words of the Gemara, because they told you the words of the Gemara a little more, obtuse. But look, the Ramban on that Gemara, Ksuvus Yudalid, says the following. Heve Yodea. When do we assume that if somebody is accused of something and he's silent, that means that there must be some truth to the accusation? That's only going to be if there's a history that this family has some issues already. Meaning, in a vacuum, somebody walks over and accuses you of being a mamzer. That's me. But if there's already some history, that there's some talk about your family having mamzer, and then a guy walks over to you and says, oh, you're a mamzer, that's when we're worried that your silence is acquiesce. Hevi odeya. Shalom nemru dvarim halalu, that your silence is an indication that maybe you really are mamzer and eved, etc. Elevim mishpacha shnitbaba, a family that already had integrated in it, a psul or a safek pasul. There, you know, there's a history to your family. If there's a history to your family that we know that a few generations ago, or last generation, two generations ago, somebody, there was a questionable geirus, this is a questionable, some happenings were a little bit questionable, then there's an accusation, okay, and you're silent, that means you agree to that accusation. But if you are a family, an upstanding family, there's no reason to assume that any, you know, hanky-panky happened in previous generations. It's a normal, nice, Jewish, religious family without any reason to assume otherwise. And there's an accusation. You don't have to be worried. Cold is shastit. The more quiet you are, again, like Rabbi Sonnenblick pointed out, the yichas tvei, that's more of an indication of yichas. That's a better yichas if you're silent. I don't know what that is. Okay. So what we have is we have a Gemara and a Rambam being mocked if you're accused. The Ravid says doesn't apply nowadays because you have no legal recourse, so your silence is anyway mean. The Ramban says this whole concern of you being accused and your silence being an indication that you really are a mamzer or a chalal or an eved, that's only if there's already a family history before this accusation started. Now, Rabosi, I want to share with you a shaila, a real-life shaila from the Maram Padua. I assume he lived in Padua, in Italy. I assume that's what it's called, Maram Padua. Rav Meir Katzenellenbog, I just would like to share with you a little bit of the history of who these people are. These are the little biographies on the Bar Ilan where I take all the, where I quote the text from. They have a little biography tab for each of the Sfarim that they have in their repository, in their library. So this is Maram Padua is Reina Harav Meir. Katzenellenbogen, he lived in the end of the 1400s, beginning of the 1500s. He was born in Prague, right? Not in Italy. He was born in Prague. Prague is in Prague is in Czech. What's that, Yasin?
Yeah, at that time, Bohemia, I think.
Okay, that's beyond my pay scale. Okay. Yeah. I didn't even know there's a place called Bohemia in modern day.
Yeah, no, that was, I had that from something else that I saw recently.
Okay, so he was born in Prague. He was born in Prague, and he studied under, look at this, because I don't know what this means. He studied under Yaakov Palik, the founder of the Chilukim method of study. I've never heard of what that means. I don't know what that means. Is that the Briska method, right? Like, Tzvedinim? Chilukim method of study? I don't know what that Chilukim method of study, I guess it was something in the 14 or 1500s called the Chilukim. I don't know what that is. Right.
It's the Tofu method, Rabbi. It's called Tofu back then.
Okay, maybe a Tilpo. He was the founder of Yaakov Palik. I don't know who the mayor of Yaakov Palik is, the founder of the Tilpo method. I don't know. Then he learned by Mari Mintz, and he married Mari Mintz's granddaughter. Okay, so here, he was actually a relative of the Rama. It's important to me. Look at this Shaila. It's a great Shaila. The guy, his name is Mr. Cohn. Mr. Cohn gets engaged. Okay, let's call him Yankee Cohn. Yankee Cohn gets engaged. Mazel Tov Yankee. Ish ploni v'kohen hu. Asher iris bas ish kohen. He marries a bas kohen, or appropriate. He marries a girl, also his last name is Katz. Yanki Cohen is engaged to Frida Katz. Wonderful. Mazel tov to both. After that, after he has this iris, and I more than just engaged, he has names. Right? This is the shayla. It's a real shayla, real life shayla. Umeaz, after he does the iris with her, two nice families, Nodolo, it becomes clear to the chassan that the father of this his kala, that his future shver, Mr. Kak, Nodolo, Rabbi, who's a kohen, right? Nodolo shepa amim rabos nemal avihanara b'fnei kava eda. His father was accused as the following: Mr. Kak, the father of the kala, your wife, Mrs. Kak, the mother of the kala, has been kidnapped by the goyim. And we have every right to assume that we know what those guys did when they kidnapped pretty Mrs. Kat. And therefore, you went back to live with your wife, pretty Mrs. Kat, and the children born from Mrs. Kat right after she had beer with the guy, what's the halacha? she's not really supposed to be living with her husband. She can't live with her husband anymore. And if she does, the children of that union of a woman who had beer with a guy, and the husband is a Kohen, so it's a Kohen married to a woman who has, well, she had beer with a guy. Her halacha is defined as a zona. She's defined as a zona. That's one of the definitions of a zona. Zona doesn't just mean a harlot. A zona in halachic literature for this purpose also means a woman who had a bia ha'asurala, like with a non-Jewish man. And therefore, if she was kidnapped, rachmana litzlan, and raped, then when she comes back to her Kohen husband, she can't live. She's puzzled for a Kohen husband. And she has children with this Kohen husband, and all the children are halalim. And this is what the chasam hears, that his father-in-law, his future shver, was accused, well, I mean, his future mother-in-law, was accused of having been kidnapped and raped by Goyim, and therefore his kala, kol zaro mimana mechulo. All of the children that they're going to have after that happened are mechulo. And that father, when he was accused of this happening to his family, to his wife, Rachmana Litzlan, he was silent. It happened numerous times. They said, your wife was kidnapped and your kids are going to be chalon. And the father was silent. It happened numerous times. And that's the news that this poor chasam finds out about his future shver and shvik. And this kid, this little Yankee Cohen, this chasam, is broken. And he's
the chasam is also a Kohen?
The chasam is a Kohen. He doesn't want to marry this girl because if she's a halala, and he marries this girl, the product of this illegal marriage. But go on. Again, it's not a problem for Yisrael. It's only a problem for Kohen. So he doesn't want to mess up. He doesn't want to mess up his yichus. He doesn't want to go through with this marriage. So therefore, he writes to the, but she doesn't want to take a get. I don't know. Maybe she says that's not true. Maybe, I don't know why. She just doesn't want to take a get. The Maran Padua says, I was asked by this custom, Yuchal Garsha Bal Karcha, can I give her a guest without her willingness? Or at least, Acheres, Mish Lachosh, do we have to be worried about Sakharas of Inner Gershom in such a case? We learned Rabbeinu Gershom at that time, right? So is he allowed to be Magaisha Bal Karcha? Is he allowed to take another wife without Hetamei Rabbanim? So, Maran Padua says, before I get into the Sugya of Fame Rabbeinu Gershom, and could you take another wife, and could you be Magaisha wife Bal Karcha? First, let's see if we really have to be worried about these accusations. Again, this is a case that is very similar to what we were talking about. It is a case where the father's family, the father of this girl, is being accused of being a Kohen who's living with his wife, who's a Zona. She's a Zona because she was kidnapped and raped by Goyim. And therefore, the father is a Chalal, the children are Chalal. And therefore, when the father was accused of this and it was silent, Was the father's silence an acquiescence and a hodah, and therefore we have to indeed be worried that the accusations are true. If the accusations are true, so we better find a way out for this poor chasam, this Yaki Kohen. So let's see how the Maran Padua deals with this very painful shaykh. V'terem adaber, before I discuss v'heteh ha'ma'aris v'gash v'al karacha, before I get into the sugya of Chayra Ben Gershom, if you could divorce her against her will and marry another girl, let's first deal with the fundamental question if we have to be worried about these accusations. Aktiv omer beta she'ein lifsol zera avi harusa v'lekosa chalala. I don't think you have to call this girl a chalala. We don't have to be worried about these accusations and this silence of the father. Why? Because I have four different reasons. There are four machlokas in the Rishonim that I could relate to this shayla. I'll show you four different zadim lahatpir in this shayla. Now, you and I already saw two of them. You want to start heter me'ar, arba pinos, from four different corners, because there are four machlokas about this book. First of all, as we saw already, you remember we had the Raivid, the machlokas, the Rambam said, accusations that you are silent, and we're worried that it's true. And what did the Raivid say? Raivid said, yeah, that's true. In the olden days, when a Beis Din that wanted to when somebody would be accused of something, they would give the accuser malkos. They'd put the accuser in cherem. But nowadays, when there's no legal recourse and the Beis Din doesn't punish accusers, So your silence, because you have no legal recourse anyway, so silence doesn't mean anything. So that's already one machlokes. The Rambam is worried about the accusation, and the Ravid says nowadays we're not worried about an accusation. That's one machlokes. You could rely on the Ravid. Number two. Secondly, we also saw this. We saw the Ramban, happens to be a Rashba also, Shadu Beinarga. They threw a wrench in this problem, in this issue. Amra Shalom Namrud Zvarm Halala Vipsule Shtika. Ella, remember, the Ramban said, we're only worried about these accusations being potentially true if the family has a known history of somebody entering the family who's with a questionable youth. Here they were just accusations and met with silence. We don't have any knowledge, definitive knowledge of somebody being a part of the family, somebody who's an illicit member of Klal Yisrael being part of this family, you know, joining this family. Aval Mishpacha, says the Rambam, Aval Mishpacha, Shebecheskes Kashrus. You don't know anything. We don't have any definitive knowledge of the problem in this family. So to the contrary, silence is a good thing. Called the Shastik, anyone who's silent, uses Tvei. That's what the Rambam says. Now, okay, that we saw. What we didn't see is the important deal of what the Marampada was about to add. He says, but wait a sec. This The Maram Padua is going to make a nice diyuk from a Rambam, which I didn't show you inside, but you will see it right here. He says, you Ramban, Ashba Ramban, are saying that the problem is only, the problem of an accusation, the only time that we think your silence, that your accusation met with silence is a hodah. Ramban said that that's only when somebody, there's a history, family history. Let's look at this Rambam that we started to learn. Let's take a step back and learn the Rambam. The Rambam who just said, oh, we're worried about accusations, that met with silence, maybe shtik, toda. Let's take a step back and look at the previous. Says the Rambam, the father. Okay, please stop. Rambam lesley chulei tzedek. The Rambam can't hold from this suggestion of the Ramban that the accusations are only problematic if there's a family history. I'll show you why the Rambam can't be worried that it's only if there's a family history. Was. So the Perakanal, he's now bring us into the Rambam's, into the Rambam's halach. So the Perakanal, his here psul, the Koran lo mamzer achala v'shosik tam. The Rambam says, the Rambam that we saw together, that if you're accused of being a chala lo mamzer, we're worried about it. But you know what he said right after that? Right after that, look what the Rambam said. The taketh the stomach love, and immediately after that, the next halach in the Rambam, I don't have the Rambam in front of me. Omar v'zelishon, the Rambam says the following: Mishpacha shenis arva bas tafik halal. If there's a family that a tafik halal was nisariv in it, we're worried about that family. Meaning, only after this halacha that talked about the accusation, the unfounded accusation. Only in the next halacha does the Rambam introduce. And what about a family where there's a history? What does that tell you? That means the previous halacha, when we were talking about the accusation, there was no family history there. Again, the Rambam says, if you're accused of being a chol or a mamzer and you're silent, we think you're a chol or a mamzer. The next halacha says, and if there's a situation where there's a family history, then whatever. That means, says Maram Padua, that the first halacha, where the Rambam talked about being accused and being silent about your accusation, is that there is no family history there. So you see that the Rambam assumes that when you're accused, we're worried that you're chol or mamzer, even when there's no family history. And that's against this Ramban, who's this leaning to the Ramban, who says that we're only worried about an accusation when there is some definitive family history, that there was unquestionably somebody inappropriate who entered the family at some time earlier in the family. So that's already two machlokas. So we have the Rambam being machmir nowadays, as opposed to the Ravid says it's only a halach from law. We have the Rambam being machmir, the same Rambam, being machmir nowadays in all cases, even when there's no family history. And the Ramban says, no, we're only worried if there's a family history. That we've seen. Now, the Maram Padua brings us a third machloket in this matter that will hopefully be able to save this poor Kala, whose last name is Katz, this poor Kala, and save her from not being a Chalala and being able to marry this Kala. Shlishis. Thirdly, there's another mach. Da'as acheres, shehevi haran, the perkamah, shestika eina, let me tell it to you outside, and then I'll see this. Let's say I go to a guy, I go to you, and I tell you, Yurei, I go to you and I say, you're a Democrat. And you start screaming and say, I'm not a Democrat. Don't accuse me of being a Democrat. How dare you call me a Democrat? You're a bigot and a racist and a... Okay, fine. Then I say to you, after I finish saying a Democrat, you give me a Mishabeach, I say, you're a mamzer. Now you're silent. How come when I call you a Democrat, you denied it and you screamed and screamed back at me and you cursed me out. But then the next minute when I called your mamzer, you were silent. Oh. If I see you've got it in you to react, to respond, and you do with other accusations, when I called your mamzer, you were silent, that, says the Ran. The Ran says, that's when we're worried that your silence is acquiescent. I know that you are somebody who is reactive. I know that you are somebody who will scream back at me when you're accused. But when I called your moms, you were silent. And when I called you a chol, you were silent. It must be that really it's true. Oh, let's see that. It's, Ron says.
I have a little problem with giving credence to silence in these issues of mythos when the person who is silent may not be aware of the fact on the ground. He doesn't know if he's a mamzer or not. It's not in his understanding.
You're making a good point. But let's read this inside and see if this, maybe I didn't give a good example. Maybe my example of calling you a Democrat wasn't an example. What if I said like this? I said that your great-grandmother was an Evan, and you scream at me. And then I call your mamzer, and you're silent. So when I called you a name about your great-grandmother being an Eved, a Shift Chaimin, there you're screaming, 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 my grandmother is true blood Jewish woman. Dare call my great-grandmother a Shifta. And then I call your moms and you're silent. So how come when I call your great-grandmother Shifta, you're screaming at me and you're denying it? But when I call your momser, then you're silent. Must be your mom. I think if I say it like that, that will answer your question. Because if I call your great-grandmother something, you do respond. What you're going to say is like, no, maybe you happen to know that your great-grandmother is not an Eved, but you don't know what your mother did. You don't know if you're a mom. I hear your heart.
But the Gemara is not.
The Gemara does. The reading of the Gemara is certainly the way the Ram presents it simply. Hold on, Mr. Samuel. The simple reading of the Gemara seems to say that we do assume that shtika is fundamentally koda. The rabbi just said that's in the olden days. The Ramban says that's only if there's a problem in the family. And here, let's just finish this run, then I'll take your question, Mr. Samuel. Let's just see what this run. Shtika, look on the screen. Shtika eno posel eladavka kishitoveach al pisul achek. You're the type of guy who, when you accuse of some other psul, you did scream. Became a ditzavach bahai. Vishostik bahai. When you were called one name, you screamed. You refused. You denied it. And now you call this other name, and you're silent. Oh, now your silence is meaningful. Muchach to mishum shtikush to hushas. Ran says that's a good proof. That's another svara of the Ran to say that maybe these accusations, the shtika kodan, these accusations only when it's the shtika contrasted with other cases where you do talk back, where you do dinner. That's another kula of the rat. Yes, Mr. Samuel, go ahead.
Awesome. Everybody knows that Mrs. Katz was a shvuya, and Mr. Katz did not deny it. So this is a completely different case because the chosid obviously came to Mr. Katz and they were silent on this. It's not the same case as all of a sudden somebody out of the blue. This is a stirring pot that's been going on for years and years.
Apparently, I think what you're asking is that you're asking that there seems like there is a family history, so why are we saying there's no family history? I think that we don't know anything. There were just a few accusations. Right. I don't think it's like that we had any definitive knowledge at any point of anything happening.
Right.
But there was once a guy said, your wife was kidnapped. And another time a guy said, your wife was kidnapped. But we never knew that the wife was kidnapped. We had a few people accused that that happened. But we didn't have, there was no newspaper story. There was no police report. There was no, that's all we know. We just know some accusations that were met with silence. He was silent. That's the problem.
Isn't that strange? That itself is very strange.
That's this sugya. That's this sugya. Could his silence be an indication of acquiescence? That's the sugya. That's the name of the shaila.
Rabbi, wouldn't there have been a call if there was something that happened? There was a, she was kidnapped and she was shruya. No call, maybe it didn't happen.
Yeah, I hear your argument. Why was there a call? Why was there a newspaper report? Why did the police? I don't know. I have no idea. All we know is that somebody accused him, and apparently there are a few people accused him over the years, and he was silent whenever he was accused. Maybe he's a big Balmidas. Maybe he's a big Bal Muslim. Maybe he learns in Geres HaRamban every morning. He reads the Geres HaRamban every morning, you know, before or after davening. And in Geres HaRamban, it says you should always talk quietly. Keep quiet. It's good to be quiet. And he's a big Bal Muslim. And he always call me names. Baruch Hashem, I get more Skar Olam Haba. Call me more names. I get more Skar Olam Haba. Okay. The people call them names. And he was just silent. That's the issue here.
That's a little different.
Okay, that would be, that will actually be the next. That'll be the next, but we'll see that in a minute. Yes, Mr. Bergman.
Error, sorry.
Okay. Now we have three reasons to be makel, at least three tzadim lahakel that Maran Padua has identified. We're now going to see a fourth. And here he's going to, I think what he said is going to say is the following. I'll say it outside because it's a little harder to see inside. I don't remember. I think somebody might have made this point. I don't remember if and who it was. If I do a shtika kahodah, me, does that have any impact on the status of my children? Meaning, can I do a shtika kahodah that makes somebody else in the world also be in a bad place? If I say yes, if I'm shosteik, hold on. Let's say I'm shosteik. Hold on, one second. If I'm shosteik and you say I owe you $100, I say, I respond with silence. Okay, so I owe you $100. But does that mean that you could take now from my lekuchos, from my meshubadim? You take from somebody else because of my silence? No, of course not. So the Maran Padua is going to say similarly, if the father is silent, and there's a shtika kahodah, even if we will believe him, even if we say shtika kahodah, and hodah is kamei edim, and it's as though you have an edus that he is a chalal, but is that ne'emanus that we give the father through the father's silence, does that have the capacity to impact his children, his daughter? Maybe, in order to make somebody possible to impact a family, you need edus. But if you only have an emunah based on a shtika kahodah, the shtika kahodah mechanism only can mess myself up. I could only be shosteik and mess myself up. I can't be shosteik and there through my shtika mess up you, nor can I be shosteik and mess up my daughter or my son or my grandchildren or my mother or brother. If I'm a shtika kahodah, so I'm in trouble. So I took upon myself. You could believe it, or whatever was the accusation was legami myself. But my shtika doesn't have the power, the capacity to impinge on anybody else's halachic status.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.com.
I believe even hoda'at bargain kemeadin applies only when it does not impact any other people. Even the hoda'at.
Correct. Even if you have a real shtika, even if you have a real, you're saying even if there's a real hoda'at. Yes, Chazan, I think
yes, that's
Forget that. Even if you have a real Hodah Baldin, Hodah Baldin, even that's not going to work.
That's the Gemara in the beginning of Ksubas, with the right in the first parak with a woman and a daughter, and they ask the woman what the status of the daughter, and she says whatever she says. Questions is the daughter now a mamzeret or whatever question there are on the daughter. So, Rashi Gemara in your day,
Very good. So that's exactly what you're saying is correct. So that's what the Iran wants to say here. Where this poor Chassan heard the news that his father was accused and was silent, even if the father was more than stunned, even if he was mamish mode, literally, like the Chassan's pointing out, even if he said, yes, I am a mamzer, that still wouldn't have the potential to make the daughter a mamzer. Even if the father would say, I'm a chalal, that still wouldn't he wouldn't have the halachic power to make his daughter a halal, a halala, because you only have the ability to this power of hodah spelled in only has the power to impact yourself, not anyone further, not any further generation. Therefore, concludes Maram Padua, I have four separate dadim lahakim. I have in this shaila, number one, the fact that the rabbi says that the silence only apply, it makes me a mamzer only in the olden days when I could have took you to court and put you in chayrim or locked you up or got you in trouble, but nowadays we don't have that. Number two, the Ramban said that the shtik todah makes me a mamzer, meaning that the future shver a mamzer if you be silent, only if there was a definitive intrusion of psulim into the family, that we don't know of any such psulim that definitively came to the family. Number three, the Ran says that the only time they were worried that your silence is significant if you were screamed about some other psil, but when it came to this psil, you were silent. Then you're silent. And finally, this last thing, even if we would believe you about when you were silent, but we'd only believe you, Lagabi, you're klape yourself, not klape your daughter or your children. And therefore, based on these four stadim lahakel, the Maram Padua says, I think there's nothing wrong with your wonderful talent. There's nothing wrong with your wonderful talent. That's what he says. Therefore, I think you have no right to divorce her against her will. You have no right to take another wife because you have no reason to assume you have these four stadim to be lenient and assume that there's nothing wrong. Even though your future shver was silent, that does not indicate necessarily that he really is a chalal and therefore that your kala is a chalal. And therefore, you have all these four stadim lahakel in this shaila, and therefore the Maram Padua, in this very painful shaila, found a great, very beautiful arrangement to be made for this one. Now, this was a beautiful tshuva, I have to say, very neat, organized, easy to follow. And we're going to look in the Shulchan Aruch now, and what I think we're going to see is all of these four heterim are going to make their way into the Shulchan Aruch. Now, what we'll be interested to think about, I don't have the answer worked out for myself yet, maybe in a few minutes we'll figure out the answer to this question, if you'll help me, is the Maram Padua has a case where he has all four Stadim Lahakel all applying at the same time. I mean, he has one scenario with four different Stadim Lahakel, that this is a case where the father, you know, where it's Bizman Hazer, so you have the Kul of the Raivid. It's a case where we don't know anybody who came into the family previously, so you have the Kul of the Rabban. It's a case where he wasn't objecting some accusations, but being silent with other accusations. That's the kula of the Ran. And you also have the kula where it was a shtiko that only klapi himself, so it doesn't apply to his family. What will happen if you only have one of those, or two of those, or three of those, and you don't have all four together in one case? What would the halakha be there? I don't know. We'll have to see. But certainly when you have all four, and most cases of accusations do have these four qualities because they're all bisman hazeh, and they're all, presumably there's no history of somebody getting mixed up in the family previously, and presumably there wasn't a situation where he was screaming to get that other accusations and sounds about this accusation. So, okay, let's see the Shulchan Aruch. We finished all the background, we're up to the Shulchan Aruch. What's going to be fascinating is the following historical point. When we learned about who the Maram Padua is, we said he was Rav Meir Katzin Ellenbogen, who is a relative of the Ramah, who is a contemporary of the Ramah. And we're going to see the Ramah is going to quote his, I guess, cousin or something, or second cousin, whatever he was, first or second cousin, something like that. He's going to, who's a contemporary of his, this Maran Padua Shaila is going to be incorporated in the Ramah's Psak, as you'll see in just a moment. That's just an interesting historical point. Because it's only because this Shaila was asked to Maran Padua, and he printed it, and the Ramah got to see it, that it made its way into the Ramah that we're about to see. If the Shaila wouldn't have been asked to the Maran Padua, it might never have, you know, or if it would have been asked to Maran Padua 20 years later, it might not have ever made an entire Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah. It's nice to think about it. Fascinating a thought of how the history makes it, causes the Shulchan Aruch to turn out a certain way. Okay. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch. Evan Ha'ezer, we're in Siman Beis. This is Sif Dalet. And he starts with quoting the Rambam, the simple reading of the Rambam, who is, of course, the most mahir. Kol shekor lo mamzer, the shoste. O nasin, the shoste. O cholo, the shoste. O evan, the shoste. You call somebody any of these four names, and the accused, ule mishpachto, we are concerned for him and for his whole family. Not like this last point that we saw a minute ago. Worried about the whole family, and you don't marry such a family. They know some mayhem. Elim came bokin, unless you do the proper bedikas with checking all the grandmothers to see if the grandmothers were all proper Jewish. Comes the Ramah, and he brings the kula of the Ramban. Yeshomrim, this is the Ramban. Davka mishpacha shenis ariba echamel hapsule. We're only worried about this silence when you're being accused. Silence when you're being accused, the shtik kodah. Only when there's a family history that previous generation, there was somebody possible who came to the family. There was a tarovis of somebody possible. But some random family, some nice, good, from family that you, it's just someone in the family is just accused of something. Nah, it's meaningless. Okay. Now, I want to bring your attention to a very strong question that the Beis Shmuel, who is the Mefarish of the style of Shulchan Aruch, raised. You raise a really good question. But for this, you have to remember what we did last week. Last week we said that if you have a family that's some kosher Jewish family, a kosher family, a regular Jewish Orthodox family is the Cheskes Kasher. You don't have to ask anything. And you don't have to do any bedikas. But we said last week that if you have a family that had a tarovis in previous generations, there was some tarovis that we know of, then you have to do bedikas. You have to check who's the grandmother, who's the great-grandmother, who's the great-great-grandmother. You have to check all the grandmothers if you know that the family was tarovis. Yes, but they shmua. Wait a second. If you're telling me, look back at this Ramah. Quoting the Ramah. Ramban said, quoted by this Ramah, that if you have a history, a family history, that somebody was in this Arev, and you were accused, and when you were accused, you were silent about the accusation, you didn't respond, then you better do a bedikah. Wait a second, this Shmuel. If we know this family had a tarovis previously in history, a few generations ago, that itself requires a bedikah, even if there was no accusation with a silent response. Why are you telling me, Mr. Ramah, Mr. Ramban, that if there's an accusation, you have to do a bedikah when there was some previous family history? Ask the Beis Shmuel, if there was previous family history that somebody was nisarif, some pasul was nisarif into the family, that itself necessitates a bedikah, even without an accusation that is met with silence. Bekasha, asked the Beis Shmuel, im nisarif ba, lama li dezeh shoseh? If there's a history of that somebody was nisarif, some pasul was nisarif into the family, who cares if there was a shtika? Suffice it to be that Sarah Bedika Kemashis Ari Baham Yapsulim. Suffice it that you have to do Bedika because somebody was this Arif into this family. That itself should warrant a Bedika. So the Chalkas Machokes, that's one of the other Mufashim on the Shukna, wrote to the Tides, in this Arif is Shoste, Ozam Rian okay, I don't want to get into the answer. It's a cute answer, but I don't want to get into it. Comes the Ramah, let's go back to the Ramah. That's just a nice question, side point, but back to our show. Comes the Ramah and he says, first he brought the the leniency of the Ramban. You've got the Yesh Omer of the Ramban who says that we are only worried about your silence when accused if there was already a history of somebody possibly coming to the offense. Now he's going to bring the other kula, the kula of the Ravid. Now we study the Yesh Omer of the Ravid. Because this whole concern for being accused and being silent in the response, Dafka B'doris HaRishonim. You based in his kakim lemisha chayif tachaveru manish nos takroi. In a time period where if you would accuse somebody wrongly and he would file a complaint, you'd be punished. So then we understand his silence is meaningful. He could have filed a complaint. Then a shtik would be kodam. But nowadays, amal achshav hashosek al amiri v'hezem hashubach. Okay, fine. Let's jump to the next Yesh Omer. This is the Yesh Omer that we saw in the Maran Padua from the Ran. The law of Rian of Yesh Omer, the law of Rian Shtika, the only time that we say Yeshtika is significant is if you were vociferous in a different accusation, but silent in this new accusation. Then we would say, oh, maybe there's some credence to this new accusation. The law of Rian Shtika, El Kain Tzavach al Pislacher, you reacted and you denied some other pistol that you were accused. But here you are silent. But if you're always silent, so your silence is meaningful. And finally, he brings the last leniency that we saw earlier. The Kol Zemari, all of this, that we're worried that maybe your silence is an indication of that it's true. That's only Maya B'Pislan, who gave us, the Psul relates to you yourself. Avon Rosen Lipso Zaro Mitnei Abifana Vishosik. If I accuse you and thereby it's going to affect your children, your silence is meaningless. It doesn't impact your children. However, he concludes, Avalamechash Ktas Miabin. You should be a little bit concerned, but it's not going to be. So that is the Rama on this Shulchan Aruch, and the Rama concludes the Hashomech Herpasa B'Shayat Varam, but certainly in other areas when somebody accuses you of being a Democrat or being a Republican or being stingy or being a spendthrift or being a manuvel or being a terrible person or being whatever people accuse you in general, you should just know Hashomech Herpasa B'Shayat Varam B'Shostei. It's always a good thing, right? I see the guy, he's smiling. You know, it's like when people have words to tell you and you keep your mouth shut, that's always a wonderful simon of good yichud. And that's the lesson of the day. Any questions?
Why don't we look at the order in which the person objected? So, for example, if you called him Chas V'Shalom a Democrat and he was screaming Chai V'Kaya, but then he went to a couple of Musa Shiurim and he became a better person, and then you called him a non-Miyukas and he was quiet, maybe he did tshuva. If it's in the reverse, of course, we all assume anyone will get worse. Now that he became a better Jew, and therefore he didn't object.
I don't know the answer to your question. What I wonder is maybe we're talking about there were two consecutive accusations, like in the same city. You're a Democrat. No, I'm not. Don't dare, don't be kidding. You're a mamzer. So in that, if you have that contrast, you know, right in front of your face, he's accused of two things, and he responds only for the first, but not for the sole yichus, maybe that's what we're worried. Maybe you're right, I don't know. Maybe you are right. Maybe if it was or maybe not, I don't know. Maybe we say, we don't look at that. This is a person who either is a responsive person or a reactive person, or he's not a reactive person. You know, he's either a warm-blooded animal or he's not a warm-blooded animal. You know, there's certain personalities that they get excited about things. Other people are very placid, and he's one or the other. If he always responds, so he should have responded here. If he never responds, then he never responds.
Maybe you accuse him of being hot-tempered, and he yells back at you, what then?
Okay, that's a good question. Good question. Okay, very good. Now, I'd like to start the next if, the next if I'm actually going to skip. If, hey, I'm going to skip. It's very complicated. It's very overwhelming for me to, you know, to put together. I think, and it's not Nogei Halacha Maisa at all. It's also about these kinds of tarovet situations where somebody gets into complicated in the family. What's going to happen? Lots of lavo. It's a complicated stuff. I'd like to get skip it. But I'd like to jump to a sivav, which is a great shiloh. Shiloh goes like this. What would you say if your son is going out with a great young lady? Sweet as sugar. She loves, she wants to support him in learning for the rest of his life, but her parents aren't religious. So you'll say, hey, that sounds like me. I did the same exact thing. What about the Gemara that says, that has some very choice words with somebody whose daughter marries his, the daughter of an Am Haaretz? Let's see this Gemara of Pesachim. And you realize how Nogei L'maisa it is if we couched it the way I just did. Tana Rabbana. Again, it goes in both ways. It could be that the girl's a sweet girl. It could be the boy's a tremendous, he's the best guy in yeshiva. Your daughter's going out with the best guy in Lakewood. It happens to be the best guy in Lakewood's, you know, parents are not religious. I actually had a friend in Lakewood. When I was in Lakewood, I had a friend who graduated, I don't remember if it was Yale or Princeton. And then at some point switched to Lakewood. You get the drift? So he came from a family that was at most marginally Orthodox, at most. He was obviously a super, super, super bright guy. And after graduating Yale or Princeton, I just don't remember which one it was. It wasn't Harvard, it was Yale or Princeton. I think maybe Princeton, I think. And I remember he married a really Jewish family. And I remember when they got married, it was like, you know, you have a guy who grew up, you know, with long hair, and then all of a sudden, you know, he was like 21, 22 years old, became, you know, got into learning. Maybe he was a little religious previously, but certainly had nothing to do with the yeshiva world before he was, you know, 20 or 21 or 22. And he married a really yeshiva, like a real yeshiva, like a Haimish of Brooklyn family. And, yeah, so here you have the opposite. You have a nice Haimish girl. And she's marrying a ben of an Am Haaretz. So it goes two ways. It's on both sides of the question. That's the point I'm stuck on. Daf Mem. Tan Rabbana, La'olam Yim Kara Adam Kol Masha Yeshlo. You should sell all of your wealth. You should sell your house, take out a mortgage, sell your car. The yeast of Bas Tamas Chacham, so you could marry a Bas Tamas Chacham. Notice it doesn't say so that your daughter could marry a Ben Tamas Chacham. But that's just, for those of you who have daughters of natural age, you're 4-year-old smiling. Great. Okay. You should sell all of your wealth so that you could marry a Bas Tamas Chacham. What happens if, okay, you can't find a Bas Tamas Chacham? So then, yeast of Bas Gedolei Hador. Obviously, you realize that a Gadol Hador in the Gemara doesn't mean Rav Kanievsky, because that's the Batam Chacham of the previous. Clearly, you see from this Gemara, the word Gadol Hador means like a communal leader. Maybe it means like, I don't know, a shul rabbi maybe. You know, a community leader, he's not necessarily a big Talmud Chacham, but he's a nice religious leader in the community, whatever it is. Okay? Lo Matzah Bas Gadol Hador. You didn't find the daughter of that kind of person either. You should marry the daughter of the president of the shul. The Rosh Kahal, like in some community, like in Europe, they have a Rosh Kahal who's not a rabbi. He's like the Rosh Kahal, sort of like the president. I think in Breuers they have such a position. Rosh Knesset. Lo Matzah Bas Rosh Knesset. Yis the Bas Gabay Tzata. Okay, that's next best. You can't marry the Bas Tal Chacham. You can't marry the daughter of the community leaders. You can't find. Make it to the presence of the shul's daughter, but at least marry the daughter of a gabbai tzaka. Lo matza bas gabbai tzaka, yisa bas melamde tirokas. Marry the daughter of a rebbe. Isn't that fascinating? Nowadays, you think the daughter of the rebbe, that was the first stage, no, right? You see here that no, there's the Talmud Chacham, and then there's the person who's teaching third grade. Not necessarily the Talmud Chacham. You don't necessarily have to be a Talmud Chacham to teach third grade. Okay, but nowadays, you know, things are a little bit different. You can't find a Lamed Tzidokos. Whatever you do, Lo Yista Bas Ameh Haaretz. Whatever you do, don't marry the daughter of an Am Haaretz. Stay away. Why? And look at the words of this Gemara. Mipnei Shehem Sheket, because they're disgusting. Unishos Behem Sheret, and the wives are despicable. Wow, what strong words. What is the definition of this Am Ha'aretz that the Torah is calling despicable and an animal and a behema and disgusting? Let's define that word Am Ha'aretz, because it's not going to be an easy word to define. It's not going to be what you think. Amar Rabbi Elazar, there's a Gemara a few lines after. Not talking about who you should marry. Am Ha'aretz. You come across an Am Ha'aretz, right? We just said it's better don't marry them or don't marry that family. Okay, now a few lines later it says, you happen to come across Am Ha'aretz. Mutal enofro b'yamat b'ipur. You're allowed to slaughter him on Yom Kippur. Shechal yos b'shavis. You could slaughter this fellow on Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbat. It's an unusual word for slaughter. Usually when we say slaughter, we use the word shochet. Nocher is a more, is a stronger way of saying like a messy murder. Murder him in a messy way, like with a blunt instrument, right? Shemitah be a sharp knife. Use a blunt knife if you come across Am Ha'aretz. On Yom Kippur, on Shabbos, kill him with a blunt knife. Of course, you know, you'll see where we're going. Don't please don't take literally here. On Yom Kippur, the Rebbe, and more of the Shochta. Don't say, you know, nocher him, which is this, like, you know, messy murder, this person who's this Am Ha'aretz, whoever, which we will define momentarily. They slaughter him the way we usually say, the Shochet, the slaughter. Am Lahem. No, slaughtering at least has some religious, is some value. Zeton bracha. This guy is killing this guy. You don't even make a bracha on such thing. Enoton bracha. You see a very unusual type of response. What do you see from this? You see from this that the word Am Ha'aretz, in this context, is referring to somebody who you're allowed to kill on Shabbos. Sabostai. If the definition of an Am Ha'aretz here is someone who you're allowed to kill on Shabbos, who are you allowed to kill on Shabbat?
Rode.
The only person I know who you're allowed to kill on Shabbat is somebody who's at risk of killing someone else. Me or you. Right? Look what Tosis said. In other words, that's the definition of an Am Ha'aretz. Not what we thought a minute ago. Oh, if somebody's not religious, that's not going to qualify as an Am Ha'aretz. Am Ha'aretz has done something much worse. But Tosis points this out. In earlier, Le'el Mayre, when we're talking about this, he's talking about this case, this slide, of an Am Ha'aretz you should kill, my b'makir, b'kofer l'hachetz. We're talking about a guy who knows his stuff, and he's a kofer l'hachetz. The heavenly harigosu kumo, exactly like Mr. Sanja said, kumo pikuach nefesh, shehu listin v'choshel hadamim. He's the type of person that he knows exactly, he used to be in the Jewish community, he left the Jewish community, and he's now, you know, he joined the Palestinian club in college. And he now is out to get us. And he's now trying to, you know, find ways to endanger us. You have to say that. Because otherwise, how else could he be, you know, could it be Motel Lahar Gubyam Kippur Shkali of the Shabbat? Even if Gentile, you were not allowed to do that. We don't kill people. We don't kill people, Jews, Gentiles alike. We don't kill anyone. So how could it say that you kill this person? It must be because he's a dangerous, murderous, bloodthirsty, umar lahachis. That's the only person you could ever have the right to kill, even on Shabbat. Because we're terrified of such a person. He's like, come on. Oh, that's the Am Ha'aretz we're speaking. And as Tosa said, as you go through Shas, there are a lot of definitions of the word Am Ha'aretz. Don't think the word Am Ha'aretz that you know from here is the same as the word Am Ha'aretz that you know from there, is the same Am Ha'aretz that you know from there. Different times in Shas, the word Am Ha'aretz means different things. So what did we just show, and this will finish, when it talks about whatever you do, don't marry the daughter of an Am Ha'aretz, we weren't saying that don't marry the daughter of somebody who's not religious. We weren't saying don't marry the daughter of somebody who's not learned. We're not saying don't marry the daughter of somebody who only knows how to read Chumash but not Mishnayos or doesn't understand the Daf Yomi shir. That's not what Am Ha'aretz means. At least in this context, when we're talking about this Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Tes, which concludes that Am Ha'aretz you'll have to slaughter him on Shabbos Yishchal Yos Yom Kippur, so the two lines before when it says don't marry his daughter, it's talking about a very different type of person. I encourage all of you when you look for a shidduch for your daughter, your son, or your granddaughter, your grandson, don't get involved in people who you know are mumers lahachis who are in danger klal yitzrayim. You, a daughter, is going over to somebody whose father is a mumer lahachis who is dangerous for klal yitzrayim. Yet, they know the shit. That's the only one you should say no. As far as the milas of marrying a bat talmud and all those things, that's Hashem, that we should all be zocha as great as much as we can to be zocha to such shidduchim. And next week, that's Hashem, we'll see the Shulchan Aruch and the parameters of what it means to how much you have to strive to marry into what we call a good, solidly religious family, and how significant those categories are, and what happens when you have a really good girl, a really good boy, a really serious bentor, a serious bas Torah, where the family is not necessarily as religious or not religious at all. That we'll have to address. Bezus Hashem.
Give me blue tablecloth on chop.
Yeah, so I meant.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.